our radio program with Philip Van Winkle.
It says, His love is perfected in us. The love that God had for us is so wonderful. The love that it took for God to send His Son to die on the cross for us. Oh, what an amazing amount of love that took. But even then, that amount of love was not perfected in us until we learn to love each other.
If God is perfect and His love is perfect, then how could God's love be incomplete? Can we act in such a way that we subtract something from the power of God's love?
1 John chapter 4, verse 10, John writes, Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And we talked last time about what it meant for Christ to be the propitiation for us. He says, If you want to know the demonstration of love, here it is. He sent His Son to die for us. The word sent here is really the word apostello. Does that word sound familiar to you? We get the word apostle from it. Apostello. And so in Hebrews chapter 3, where it says that Jesus is the apostle and high priest, what does that mean? It means He was sent. And that's exactly what the word apostle means, one who is sent. And so Christ was sent to be the propitiation for us. Romans chapter 3, Paul says, Whom God has set before a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. In order to declare His righteousness, He sent Jesus to die for our sins. Someone might say, How can a good and righteous God allow His own creation to be lost because of sin? But I want to say that I think that is probably the wrong question to ask. Really, the question that should be asked about God is, how can a just and righteous God save man, despite the fact that he sinned? And so Romans chapter 3, verse 26 says, To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So He is to be just and the justifier of the one who believes. See, God had a dilemma. You see, He wanted to save man, but He couldn't save man without some sort of payment for sin. Who can look at the death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary and say, well, you know, God didn't have to make Christ die? I've heard of many preachers say that over the years. They say, you know, God could have saved man any way that He wanted to. He just chose to send Jesus. I don't believe that. If you are a parent and you're listening to this lesson, if there was any possible way that you could save somebody without having your son or daughter or your child to lose their life, don't you think you would do that? Of course you would. And so it is the case then that Christ had to die to redeem a sinful man back to a sinless and righteous God. He had to have a payment for sin. How do I know that? Because the wages of sin, Romans says, the wages of sin is death. So Christ was sent, that is the word apostle, in order to make payment for the wages of sin. He made payment for sin. How did He make the payment? By His death. And so in 1 John chapter 4, verse 11 says, Because of this, look at this, beloved, if so, or since God, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. If is the word since here. And we'd say the same things. If this is true, then this is true. You know, since this is true, obviously this other thing is true. Since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now, we need to look at this word ought here. Because sometimes we say the word ought and it doesn't carry much weight with it. I might say, boy, I'm getting hungry and I ought to go out and have a hamburger for lunch. Well, I ought to do that, but maybe I'm driving down the road and I change my mind and I want pizza instead. Well, no big deal. That's what I ought to do, but it's no big deal if I do, if I don't. That's not this word ought. This word is a Greek word called aphileo. This isn't saying, hey, since God loved us so much, you know, it would be nice if we loved one another. That's not what this is saying. This says, since God loved us so much. This word aphileo means we owe it, we are in debt to. Since God loved us so much, we are under an obligation to love one another. In fact, we're going to do a little study on this word for just a moment. So I hope you have your Bibles and you're following along. Because in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, we saw this word once before already. Actually, a couple times. But he says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. He must, that is, he is under obligation to walk as Jesus walked. 1 John 3, verse 16 says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. The same thing. We are under debt. We are indebted to love the brethren. This word also is found all the way back in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 28, but it's not used as the word ought. Here's the word. It says, Jesus says, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him. See that word owed? There's the word. It's the same word. He owed him, that same Greek. He owed him 100 pence. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owest. There's the word. He owed it to him, right? And then in verse 30 of the same chapter, he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. There's the same root word, the same word. And so he says over here in 1 John chapter 4, verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought. There's that word. We are in debt to love one another. Again, he says, his Lord was angry at Matthew 18:34, delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. There's the word due, that same word that we're looking at. He owed a debt so large that the only way he could be delivered was to pay it back. And you and I, the same way. We have a debt so large. You and I could never pay the debt back except it says we owe it to love the brethren. Now we understand how important it is. You and I don't need to just come to church on Sunday morning and to put on a show and pretend that we love each other, and then we go home on Monday and we don't see each other, we don't care about each other, we don't call each other, we don't talk to each other. I know brother so-and-so is having a hard time, but you know, he'll come here on Sunday and I'll give him another hug. Folks, that's not love. We owe it to them to love them. Romans chapter 15, verse 27, it says, it has pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28 says, so ought men to love their wives. They are in debt to love their wives. And since God loved us so much, he's saying here in 1 John chapter 4, since God loved us so much that he gave his only son for us, we owe it to each other to love one another just like that. In fact, when you look at the Greek here, it is a reflexive word, which means that I am loving you at the same time you're loving me. It is not a one-way action. It's not I love you and you hate me. We are to be loving each other. We owe it to each other to do that. And so in verse 12 he says, no man has seen God at any time. The word God here is from the word theos, referring to deity. There are three personalities who possess deity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's just take a look at that very quickly as we continue to talk about love, because we're going to come back around and talk about this love. But let's just take a moment and look at what we're talking about here with deity and this word theos. No man has seen God at any time. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, it says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. And so we have God and we have the Son. We have the Father, we have the Son. John chapter 1, we've talked about this before, says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So we have God and we have the Father here, we have the Son. Over in Acts chapter 5 and verse 3, Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" Well, who did he lie to? He lied to God. He lied to the Holy Ghost. He kept back part of the price of the land. And he said, "While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied to men, but unto God." And so, we have the Father, we have the Son, and we have the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, what is he talking about? No man has seen deity. Obviously, someone has seen Jesus. And we're going to talk about that as well. But let's not lose track about what the main point of what we're saying is. We are to be loving one another. And he says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." And then he says, "No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us." The very attitude of God dwells in us when we learn to love each other. God, so look at what he said. First of all, God loved us and gave us his Son to be the propitiation for us. Since God loved us that much, secondly, we are in debt to love each other. Then, if we do love each other, if we have those that same attitude of love, then we have the same characteristic in us that God himself had in him, that same characteristic that caused him to send his Son for us. God is characterized by love, and we are characterized by the same thing if we have the love of God dwelling in us. And it says, his love is perfected in us. The love that God had for us is so wonderful. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. The love that it took for God to send his Son to die on the cross for us. Oh, what an amazing amount of love that took. But even then, that amount of love was not perfected in us. It was not perfected in us until we learn to love each other. How many fights would we not have in the church? How much bickering and fighting and backbiting and stabbing each other in the backs? How much of that could be done away with if we actually understood and had the love of God dwelling in us? It is made complete when we learn to love each other. In fact, the same is said similarly about faith in James chapter 2. Abraham our father was justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar. See how faith wrought with his works, and by works was his faith made perfect. By his actions, his faith was made complete. And therefore it is with us that the love of God is made complete, but it's not made complete until we love one another.